Launch good.
Good launch.
Good what?
No, launch food.
Hey, I know it's Ramadan, but we are launch good.
Ooh, launch good.
My mosque fundraiser was on it.
Yeah, my friend shared the Gaza school campaign.
That's us.
Oh, I think they're the ones where you can automate your daily giving in Ramadan.
More than 500,000 people have given and raised over $100 million on LaunchGood.
Join our 30-day Ramadan challenge and support a different cause every day on launchgood.com/Ramadan.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everybody. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah. Abu Thab, how you doing?
Alhamdulillah, how you doing?
Alhamdulillah. Doing well, alhamdulillah. Just trying to get the last of these 10 nights as much as we can. Alhamdulillah. What did you eat for iftar? Anything good?
I had some apples.
Nice. Yeah, all the iftar, they don't really eat before they recite, huh?
No, you can't do that.
You got to go afterwards. Okay, mashallah. That's good, alhamdulillah. It's okay. We're going to be describing some of the fruits of Jannah, inshallah, tonight. So inshallah. You already got a head start. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam, rasulullah. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to night number 25. SubhanAllah, juz number 25 of our Qalam recitation and reflection series. I've been enjoying it. I hope you have too. It's been something that has really, mashallah, been a staple for my Ramadan, even on the nights that I'm not presenting. I'm always in front of my TV with my mushaf, going through and listening and benefiting from the reflections and the recitation. Tonight we have Hafiz Bilal Hassan with us. He is, mashallah, a student at the Qalam Seminary. He's in the second year of the Alimiyah program. One of my students, alhamdulillah, somebody that I really enjoy having in class. And he's also somebody that I used to pray behind at South Lake Masjid Taraweeh prayers. So I'm really going to enjoy tonight, inshallah, a familiar voice. We're going through the 25th juz, which will finish Surah Fussilat, inshallah. I think we have the last page. And then we have Surah Ash-Shura, which is a Meccan surah. And then we have, after that, Surah Az-Zukhruf, which is another Meccan surah. And then we have Surah Ad-Dukhan, and then we'll finish, inshallah, with Surah Jathiyah. So Surah Ad-Dukhan and Surah Jathiyah, inshallah, we'll finish, inshallah. So we have a few. I know that I have a reputation that I have to address the elephant in the room, that I'm the one that normally goes over by like an hour. So I won't do that tonight, inshallah. I went through my notes and I trimmed them down, so it'll be quick, inshallah, bi-idhnillah. Barakallahu feekum. Hafiz Bilal, inshallah, the way that I would like to do it, if it's okay with you, is if you recite the page first, and then I'll give the reflection about the page that you had just recited, inshallah. I know normally we go the other way, but I kind of like the flow of being able to give the reflection afterwards, inshallah.
Yeah, sounds good, inshallah.
And just remember, everybody, Helping Hand for Relief and Development, they support everything that we do here at Qadam this month. And so if you've benefited from what we've done, then we have, we have to thank them for their support, alhamdulillah. So please visit the website, helpinghandforreliefanddevelopment.org. They're not just a sponsorship organization. They actually do real work. We just thought we would give them the platform that we have and bring them into so many people's living rooms and homes and phones, so that maybe perhaps, we could trust you guys with being able to go and sign up and benefit for people who are, orphans and those who are needy, especially with COVID-19. There's a genuine uncertainty. It's real, beyond just the difficulties that they've had. So please, inshallah, make your way over there and sign up and help out, inshallah. Barakallahu feekum. We will begin now with the 25th juz. Bismillah, whenever you're ready.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إليه يرد علم الساعة وما تخرج من ثمرات من أكمامها وما تحمل من أنثى ولا تضع إلا بعلمه ويوم يناديهم أين شركائي قالوا آذناك ما منا من شهيد وضل عنهم ما كانوا يدعون من قبل وظنوا ما لهم من محيص لا يسأم الإنسان من دعاء الخير وإن مسه الشر فيئوس قنوط ولئن أذقناه رحمة منا من بعد ضراء مسته ليقولن هذا لي وما أظن الساعة قائمة ولئن رجعت إلى ربي إن لي عنده للحسنى فلننبئن لَنَجْزِيَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِمَا عَمِلُوا وَلَنُذِيقَنَّهُمْ مِنْ عَذَابٍ غَلِيظٍ وَإِذَا أَنْعَمْنَا عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ أَعْرَضَ وَنَأَى بِجَانِبِهِ وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ فَذُو دُعَاءٍ عَرِيضٍ قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ كَفَرْتُمْ بِهِ مَنْ أَضَلُّ مِمَّنْ هُوَ فِي شِقَاقٍ بعيد سنريهم آياتنا في الآفاق وفي أنفسهم حتى يتبين لهم أنه الحق أولم يكفي بربك أنه على كل شيء شهيد ألا إنهم في مرية من لقاء ربهم ألا إنه بكل شيء محيط.
In the last page of Surat al-Fusilat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings some very heavy arguments to the table. The first argument that he presents is that nobody knows certain things in life, and nobody knows the coming of the Day of Judgment, what time that will come. Just like nobody knows when somebody is, you know, planting and harvesting fruit, they don't know the quality of the fruit that's coming out. Or when a mother has a child that is developing in the womb, nobody knows the quality of that child. Nobody knows who that child will become and what they will be. There's so many question marks. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he brings to us this parable of how we live in a life of uncertainty. And just like we have that uncertainty about so many things, whether it's farming or whether it's, you know, family development, human development, there's also the uncertainty about the Day of Judgment. And so this is something that kind of humbles us and reminds us that how can you be so boastful and so arrogant in your deeds and in your life and not turn back to Allah when you don't even know, what the child that you're going to have is going to be like. You don't even know what the fruit that you're planting or the vegetables that you're planting are going to be like. So how can you act as if you know about the Day of Judgment? It's a very powerful argument. Later in the page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also gives us another realization or, you know, a reflection about human beings where he tells us that we have this habit of insisting on good things, that we pray for them, we demand them, we request them from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we also have this unfortunate habit where when things are okay, we forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when things are okay, we turn away from Allah. Like we're totally fine. We ignore calling out to Allah. And then when we're being tested, we turn away from Allah in resentment. So the first case is that when things are fine, you're just kind of like living happy-go-lucky. And then when things go south or when things are testing you, you kind of turn away from Allah in a resentment. And then when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us good things again, then we start to feel as if this is like because of my own doing, that this is my merit, that God, you know, God gave me this because of who I am. I'm such a good person. And this is like a really dangerous state to get into, is when we start to think about all of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with. They don't have as much to do with our merit as much as they have to do with Allah's generosity. And so whenever you're blessed by Allah, it's so important to remind yourself that this is sheerly and purely from the generosity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This has really nothing to do with me. And so that's an important characteristic Allah ta'ala calls out. And then at the end, he tells humanity to look everywhere, look at the creation and also look inside. And if you spend enough time reflecting, Allah Ta'ala says, on the verses that you'll see around you and inside of you, and you think deeply about the reality of your purpose, then Allah Ta'ala says that there is confidence that a person will not be able to live their life without knowing that there is a creator and that they have a purpose and that one day they are going to meet their Lord. So this is a very deep finishing page of a very powerful surah. The next surah, Surah Ash-Shura, is a Meccan surah. It focuses on themes that are commonly found in Meccan Qur'an. And hopefully through the study of the Qur'an this month, you guys have picked up on some things. Maybe you can tell when you're reading Madani Qur'an versus Meccan Qur'an. Meccan Qur'an, namely, is reinforcing beliefs about Allah Ta'ala's oneness, Tawheed, the Qur'an, the divine nature of the revelation, the Day of Judgment, and establishing that sort of reality within people. So this surah focuses on all those topics and more. Bismillah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم حاميم عين قاف كذلك يوحي إليك وإلى الذين من قبلك الله العزيز الحكيم له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وهو العلي العظيم تكاد السماوات يتفطرن من فوقهن والملائكة يسبحون بحمد ربهم ويستغفرون لمن في الأرض ألا إن الله هو الغفور الرحيم والذين اتخذوا من دونه أولياء الله حفيظ عليهم وما أنت عليهم بوكيل وكذلك أوحينا إليك قرآنا عربيا لتنذر أم القرى ومن حولها وتنذر يوم الجمع لا ريب فيه فريق في الجنة وفريق في السعير ولو شاء الله لجعلهم أمة واحدة ولكن يدخل من يشاء في رحمته والظالمون ما لهم من ولي ولا نصير أم اتخذوا من دونه أولياء فالله هو الولي وهو يحيي الموتى وهو على كل شيء قدير وما اختلفتم فيه من شيء فحكمه إلى الله ذلكم الله ربي عليه توكلت وإليه أنيب.
In this first page, Allah Ta'ala mentions something very powerful and beautiful about the heavens and the earth. When he says that everything in the cosmos, everything that is in the universe, there is no differing or split over who owns them. That Allah Ta'ala is alone in his authority and in his ownership over everything. And this is meant to instill a sense of obviously awe, a sense of reverence, and a sense of even comfort within the ones who believe in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, that everything that I am experiencing, every resource, every blessing, even every test and calamity is truly coming from the universe that Allah Ta'ala created and is in charge of. And so it inspires us to make dua that if he's in charge of it, that I need to call upon him. Allah Ta'ala also mentions that he is the most generous and the most merciful. And so even though there's a sense of awe that could lead to a person being intimidated, Allah Ta'ala finishes that thought by reminding us that you don't have to be intimidated as much as you can think about Allah Ta'ala's generosity and his mercy. He also references that his greatness and his majesty in this generosity and in this mercy is so phenomenal that when a person sits and just thinks about Allah, that it should actually cause their heart, as is mentioned in the Quran, that it causes their heart to feel, you know, filled with wonder. That when a person genuinely just sits, even for a few minutes, and just asks themselves questions about how great Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, that it causes their heart to fill with wonder. And he says that it's so great, this reflection can be so powerful that it even makes the heavens feel like they want to burst as a result of this reality, right? So the question has to be asked, you know, if the sky and the heavens, things that we see as inanimate objects, if they want to burst as a result of Allah's greatness, then how can we sit even for not a moment during the day and reflect on that, right? So it's a deep responsibility that we have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that the angels are constantly glorifying Allah and they're always asking forgiveness for those people on earth, those people from the believers on earth. Allah Ta'ala finishes the page with a beautiful example, and he mentions that if he wanted to, he could have made all of humanity into a single community, whether that's, you know, ethnic or whether that's, you know, whatever, in whatever way it might refer to, or belief, right? But Allah Ta'ala says that ultimately there are different levels of people in life based on Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala's mercy and also based on who chooses to follow Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So there is a reality behind why Allah Ta'ala made different rankings and different groups of people. Everyone is different, but everyone has the same access to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And then he finishes, subhanAllah, with a commandment to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to tell people that whatever differences that you might have between you, even though you're not the same, it's important for everybody to anchor everything back to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That if you anchor to Allah, then that's the one objective belief that you can all rely upon. But if people are going to argue based off of different ideologies and viewpoints and cultural practices and heritages and opinions, then you're going to have as many opinions on the earth as there are people. So there has to be one uniting belief system, and that is the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is an example that Allah Ta'ala gives us. Go ahead.
فاطر السماوات والأرض جعل لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا ومن الأنعام أزواجا يذرأكم فيه ليس كمثله شيء وهو السميع البصير له مقاليد السماوات والأرض يبسط الرزق لمن يشاء ويقدر إنه بكل شيء عليم شرع لكم من الدين ما وصى به نوحا والذي أوحينا إليك وما وصينا به إبراهيم وموسى وعيسى أن أقيموا الدين ولا تتفرقوا فيه كبر على المشركين ما تدعوهم إليه الله يجتبي إليه من يشاء ويهدي إليه من ينيب وما تفرقوا إلا من بعد ما جاءهم العلم بغيا بينهم ولولا كلمة سبقت من ربك إلى أجل مسمى لقضي بينهم وإن الذين أورثوا الكتاب من بعدهم لفي شك منه مريب فلذلك فادع واستقم كما أمرت ولا تتبع أهواءهم وقل آمنت بما أنزل الله من كتاب وأمرت لأعدل بينكم الله ربنا وربكم لنا أعمالنا ولكم أعمالكم لا حجة بيننا وبينكم الله يجمع بيننا وإليه المصير.
In this page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces the idea of, number one, his complete and total power when it comes to distributing his risk. That distribution of provision is up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's important for people to understand that that distribution is not chaotic, it's not haphazard, it's not accidental, but there's a divine wisdom and strategy into why everybody has the risk that they have, when they have it, and how much of it that they have. That everything has a rhyme and a reason to it, because this can be a deep sense of discomfort for people in their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's the test of wanting more or the test of having too much. So we ask Allah ta'ala to make us content with his plan and his provision. The second thing that Allah ta'ala mentions to us too is that these challenges that we see in adopting faith, whether it's ourselves or people adopting faith, they're not new. These are things that have existed from the time of Nuh, from the time of Ibrahim, from the time of Musa and Isa, and they've all said the same thing. They've all said to accept Allah, believe in God, uphold it, and try not to divide each other, try not to make divisions within each other based on what? Again, the previous page, on my opinions, on how I see things. And subhanAllah, he mentions, Allah Ta'ala mentions as well, that this idea of submitting to Allah and not inflating a person's own opinion is something that is so difficult for people. And he mentions especially the people who are mushrikun, those people who are polytheists. It's difficult for them to silence their own opinions when it comes to faith and reality, that accepting and submitting is a really difficult thing to do. So we hope that Allah Ta'ala makes us humble enough to submit, because that's something that Allah Ta'ala describes mushrikun as having trouble with. And then he mentions that people split into different sects, and there was some sort of envy that occurred between them, that everyone wanted to be right and everyone wanted to be special and correct. And nobody was focused on the right thing, which was what? Just submitting to Allah and his messenger and the messenger that was sent to them. And this became an increasingly alarming matter about those people. And it caused them to have a lot of doubt in the scripture that they were sent and also the scripture of the Quran. And so Allah Ta'ala finishes the page by commanding the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam something that he said in Surah Hud gave him gray hairs, which was, "Wastaqim kama umirta," right? That Allah Ta'ala says to him, you know, be firm upon what you've been commanded. That this is like one of the greatest principles of spirituality and spiritual development in the Quran. And it actually was so stressful for the Prophet to hear this, that it actually caused him, you know, great stress, you know, to the point where he even said it, he articulated it. Because it's one thing to say something, but it's very, very difficult to be principled. It's very challenging to be principled, especially when opportunities present themselves. So one of the greatest spiritual victories a person can have in their iman is to do the right thing. It's like really, really easy to say, but it's really, really tough. Like when something happens and you know in your heart what the right thing is to do, one of the greatest spiritual victories, the closest points that you'll be to Allah, is when you do the right thing, especially when no one's watching. right? That sincerity is just, you know, incredibly powerful. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to make us people who are steadfast and to do what we've been commanded by the Quran. Go ahead.
وَالَّذِينَ يُحَاجُّونَ فِي اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا اسْتُجِيبَ لَهُ حُجَّتُهُمْ دَاحِضَةٌ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ وَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ اللَّهُ الَّذِي أَنْزَلَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ وَالْمِيزَانِ وَمَا يُدْرِيكَ لَعَلَّ السَّاعَةَ قَرِيبٌ يَسْتَعْجِلُ بِهَا الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِهَا وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مُشْفِقُونَ مِنْهَا وَيَعْلَمُونَ أنها الحق ألا إن الذين يمارون في الساعة لفي ضلال بعيد الله لطيف بعباده يرزق من يشاء وهو القوي العزيز من كان يريد حرث الآخرة نزد له في حرثه ومن كان يريد حرث الدنيا نؤته منها وما له في الآخرة من نصيب أم لهم شركاء شرعوا لهم من الدين ما لم يأذن به الله ولولا كلمة الفصل لقضي بينهم وإن الظالمين لهم عذاب أليم ترى الظالمين مشفقين مما كسبوا وهو واقع بهم والذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات في روضات الجنات لهم ما يشاءون عند ربهم ذلك هو الفضل الكبير.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this page by teaching us that one of the purposes of the Quran, one of the purposes of it as a book, is to bring balance into our lives, to bring us back to a state of equilibrium, you know, homeostasis, want to be centered. And that's one of the goals of the Quran, it's one of its objectives. If we are all truly very subjective, we have our own opinions based on certain beliefs and preferences, and even what point in time of your life that you're in. The Quran is the great equalizer. It's the message that is meant to provide an objective advice, no matter who, where, or when, or what point in their life that they're in. The only way that we can get back to balance is through the Quran, and that's what Allah Ta'ala tells us here. The Day of Judgment is a contentious issue for those people who don't believe in it, and it's so contentious that they become so irritated by the mention of it. But bringing up the Day of Judgment should not be something that irritates us. There's a different emotion that Allah Ta'ala tells us to have, and that is concern. But the Day of Judgment should concern us, meaning that when we think about it, we should think to ourselves, what am I going to have to answer for? And how can I change my life right now so that I don't have to answer for things on the Day of Judgment? But we shouldn't feel irritated by its existence, because that's the description Allah gives to those who deny its existence. He says that they actually almost become impatient with it. Like they're so irritated by it that they actually are like rushing it, or they're demanding for it to be brought forth. Rather, those people who believe, they should have a deep concern about it. They should have fear and concern about the Day of Judgment. Allah Ta'ala mentions beautifully after that verse that He is very subtle and gentle with His servants. Or as long as you try, Allah Ta'ala, what does it mean when Allah says that He is Latif, that He is the subtle one, He's the gentle one? It means that Allah Ta'ala knows all the nuances about you. He knows everything. You know, when you try to get up and pray and maybe you make a mistake, or when you try to read Quran and you're struggling, when you try to do something and you don't do it as well as you wanted to, don't worry that Allah doesn't know who you are. And don't worry that Allah doesn't know what you're going through. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything. He's Latif al-Khabir. He's the one who's well acquainted and very subtle. So Allah knows every detail about what you're trying, what you're struggling with. And that's something that's supposed to bring us a sense of relief when Allah ta'ala tells us that. And even in the provisions that He gives us, Allah Ta'ala knows, and if we look around our life, we'll find that Allah Ta'ala is very subtle in the way He provides for us as well. And then the powerful verse, ayah number 20, Allah Ta'ala says that the difference between seeking this life and the next life is that you have to basically choose one. I know this sounds very ultimatum-ish, but it really is a reality that when you look at every action and every intention that you have in life, you have to decide where it's going to go. Is it going to go here, or is it going to go in the Akhirah? And Allah Ta'ala says, if you want it to go in the Akhirah, then you'll get it there. In fact, you'll get more. But if you want it to come here, then Allah Ta'ala will give it to you here, but He won't give you anything in the Akhirah. What does this mean? Does this mean that we have to be people who don't even live here and don't even eat here and don't have houses? No. But what this means is that our absolute intention in our heart of hearts is that none of this matters if the Akhirah doesn't matter. None of what I have now matters. If the Akhirah doesn't matter, then it doesn't matter. if I feel like my akhirah is suspect, then I will sacrifice anything in this life to make sure that I don't put that at risk. But if I feel like I'm on a good path with Allah and I'm growing and I'm spiritually going towards Allah, I'm on the straight path, then I don't have to be worried that this life is threatening my next life. It actually becomes what? A tool for my next life. Go ahead.
ذلك الذي يبشر الله عباده الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات قل لا أسألكم عليه أجرا إلا المودة في القربى ومن يقترف حسنة نزد له فيها حسنا إن الله غفور شكور أم يقولون افترى على الله كذبا فإن يشأ الله يختم على قلبك ويمحو الله الباطل ويحق الحق بكلماته إنه عليم بذات الصدور وهو الذي يقبل التوبة عن عباده ويعفو عن السيئات ويعلم ما تفعلون ويستجيب الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات ويزيدهم من فضله والكافرون لهم عذاب شديد ولو بسط الله الرزق لعباده لبغوا في الأرض ولكن ينزل بقدر ما يشاء إنه بعباده خبير بصير وهو الذي ينزل الغيث من بعد ما قنطوا وينشر رحمته وهو الولي الحميد ومن آياته خلق السماوات والأرض وما بث فيهما من دابة وهو على جمعهم إذا يشاء قدير وما أصابكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم ويعفو عن كثير وما أنتم بمعجزين في الأرض وما لكم من دون الله من ولي ولا نصير.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins in the first verse by mentioning that the reward for doing good deeds for the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so comprehensive that it gives you so much good. Doing good deeds gives you goodness in your life. It gives you the goodness in the afterlife. And it also gives you more good deeds. That when you do something good, Allah Ta'ala opens the door for you to do even more good. And so this is something that we have to inculcate in our lives, is that if you want to do something good, if you want to be a good person to Allah, then just start doing something good. And Allah Ta'ala will start to open the doors for you to do more and more good as your life goes on. This is why we consider it the greatest gift to be guided. Because guidance from Allah allows us to make the right decisions. And when you make good decisions, Allah Ta'ala opens doors for more good decisions. And so we consider that to be the greatest gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have that hidayah, that guidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something so overwhelming in the next couple of verses. He says that He knows every single thing that's hidden deep inside your chest. Allah Ta'ala knows everything. All the things that you don't want to tell anybody, all the things that nobody else knows, all the moments that you regret, moments that you wish you forgot about, that you never, just wasn't with you, all the baggage. But in that same verse that can cause a person to feel so fearful, in that same passage, Allah Ta'ala mentions in the following ayah that he accepts repentance from the servants and he pardons their mistakes. So Allah Ta'ala here is telling us, like, I know everything that you've done and everything that you do, but at the same time, I'm also the one that forgives. All you have to do is turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He's the one who accepts. Even though He knows us, He loves us and He forgives us. And He answers our du'as whenever we do good, and He gives us more than we can ever ask for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us something very interesting about human beings. He says that He could have given us unfettered wealth. He could have given everybody unfettered wealth and everyone could have been wealthy, but it would have caused a lot of oppression and a lot of problems in the earth. And so that's why He didn't give everybody a certain amount of wealth or everyone, incredible unfettered access to money, because it's a door that opens to oppression and tyranny. So we have to be careful that whenever Allah Ta'ala grants us something from the material wealth, that we don't become people who go distant from Allah or start to oppress people or oppress others. And Allah Ta'ala mentions at the end that whatever happens to you from calamities or tests, there is an element for sure, without a doubt, that it's from what we've done, right? Allah Ta'ala gives us the circumstances, but our actions with those circumstances create those problematic situations in our lives. So we have to look inward and back at our calamities, at ourselves, instead of blaming Allah, right? Instead of resenting Allah. Allah Ta'ala will never be overwhelmed by the earth. So turn to the one who cannot be overwhelmed for help instead of blaming him.
ومن آياته الجوار في البحر كالأعلام إن يشأ يسكن الريح فيظلل رواكد على ظهره إن في ذلك لآيات لكل صبار شكور أو يوبقهن بما كسبوا ويعفو عن كثير ويعلم الذين يجادلون في آياتنا ما لهم من محيص فما أوتيتم من شيء فمتاع الحياة الدنيا وما عند الله خير وأبقى للذين آمنوا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون والذين يجتنبون كبائر الإثم والفواحش وإذا ما غضبوا هم يغفرون والذين استجابوا لربهم وأقاموا الصلاة وأمرهم شورى بينهم ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين إذا أصابهم البغي هم ينتصرون وجزاء سيئة سيئة مثلها فمن عفا وأصلح فأجره على الله إنه لا يحب الظالمين ولمن انتصر بعد ظلمه فأولئك ما عليهم من سبيل إنما السبيل على الذين يظلمون الناس ويبغون في الأرض بغير الحق أولئك لهم عذاب أليم ولمن صبر وغفر إن ذلك لمن عزم الأمور ومن يضلل الله فما له من ولي من بعده وترى الظالمين لما رأوا العذاب يقولون هل إلى مرد من سبيل.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this page by giving us a reference to another sign of his existence and his coming to his, to knowing him. And that is that the ships that we depend on, he describes them and he says that they're like mountains that are kind of like in the sea. And what that means is that they depend on another resource that we don't control, which is the wind. That if you look at so much of the transportation in the world, you know, it depends on resources that Allah Ta'ala has given us. Even if you look at modern day transportation, cars and such, it depends on oil, which is something that we don't control. And so the reality is that we have so many resources that we are so dependent on. And we have so much confidence at the same time that we are in complete control. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to pull the plug on something, on a resource, like if there was not a windy day that wouldn't take the ship sailing, or if there was no more oil to drive cars, we would be in desperate need. So this is a reminder for us to open our eyes and to give us that sort of sense of reality back. And Allah ta'ala finishes this reminder by telling us that he forgives a lot. وَيَعْفُ عَنْ كَثِيرٌ Don't worry, like you kind of got away, but it's okay, Allah ta'ala forgives a lot. Then Allah ta'ala, he tells us that there are some certain qualities that people have that Allah Ta'ala loves in certain people. And these are the people that when they want to refocus, when they feel like they've kind of gotten away and they've had these pleasures in life that have maybe given them, you know, a distraction away, when they want to refocus to Allah, they have to do a few things. Number one, you have to remember that whatever Allah Ta'ala is promising you in the Akhirah, it is two things. It is better and it is long-lasting. خَيْنُ وَأَبَقَى It's going to be there. It's much better than anything that you're using that's distracting you from Allah. And whatever is distracting you from Allah is temporary. It's not going to be there forever. Allah Ta'ala says, remember that. Whatever Allah has is better and forever. The next step that a person has to do to refocus on Allah is to reaffirm their belief in Allah. To ask themselves, like, what does it mean to have a Lord and a sustainer and a creator? And what kind of relationship should I have? And ultimately, at the end of that reflection, they're going to have this وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ That they're going to be people who rely upon Allah. They're going to realize his power and his greatness, and they're going to feel connected to him in a way that makes them rely upon him. The next thing a person has to do is avoid major sins as best they can, right? Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone stumbles. But the major sins, those are the ones that almost require intention. They require that willful negligence. And so the ones that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives so frequently and so easily, like from day to day to week, are the ones where it's a genuine mistake. It's an honest mistake. Those are the sins that Allah Ta'ala forgives so easily, like foam on the sea. But the ones in which they require very deep repentance and they have a very deep level of consequence are the ones that are intentional. May Allah protect us from that. The next step is to forgive when you're angry, not after. We don't have time to go into this very much, but it's very easy to forgive somebody after you're done being angry at them. But it's really difficult for a person in their nafs to control their anger and forgive in that moment, to make excuses. Then Allah Ta'ala says to establish prayer, to be somebody who seeks counsel, and to give charity. These are the cases in which Allah Ta'ala says, if a person wants to reestablish their centering of faith in their life, to work on this list. Bismillah. And you can finish, inshallah, the surah.
وَتَرَاهُمْ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا خَاشِعِينَ مِنَ الذُّلِّ يَنْظُرُونَ مِنْ طَرْفٍ خَافِي وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَلَا إِنَّ الظَّالِمِينَ فِي عَذَابٍ مُقِيمٍ وَمَا كَانَ لَهُم مِّنْ أَوْلِيَاءَ يَنصُرُونَهُم مِّن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَمَن يُضْلِلِ اللَّهُ فَمَا لَهُ مِن سَبِيلٍ استجيبوا لربكم من قبل أن يأتي يوم لا مرد له من الله ما لكم من ملجأ يومئذ وما لكم من نكير فإن أعرضوا فما أرسلناك عليهم حفيظا إن عليك إلا البلاغ وإنا إذا أذقنا الإنسان منا رحمة فرح بها وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ كَفُورٌ لِلَّهِ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءُ يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا وَيَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ الذُّكُورُ أَوْ يُزَوِّجُهُمْ ذُكْرَانًا وَإِنَاثًا وَيَجْعَلُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ عَقِيمًا إِنَّهُ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ وَمَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَنْ يُكَلِّمَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَّا وَحْيًا أَوْ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حجاب أو يرسل رسولا فيوحي بإذنه ما يشاء إنه علي حكيم وكذلك أوحينا إليك روحا من أمرنا ما كنت تدري ما الكتاب ولا الإيمان ولكن جعلناه نورا نهدي به من نشاء من عبادنا وإنك لتهدي إلى صراط مستقيم صراط الله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض ألا إلى الله تصير الأمور.
Inshallah, Jameel. So the final page, going into that next page, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us gives the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and everybody else a very almost like a nice strength, a strengthening confidence when he mentions that after being mocked for their entire life for disbelief in Allah and dedication to God, Allah Ta'ala gives us a little sneak peek into the afterlife, that there will be people who will be humiliated, unfortunately, with the hellfire. And the believers will come on that day and they'll say as a realization that, man, the true ones who were the losers, you know, we were called losers our entire lives because we gave up things or we lived a certain way or we, you know, stayed away from something or we basically made certain sacrifices out of devotion to Islam. But because of those sacrifices, we're not losers today. And the true losers today are the ones who ended up losing themselves and their families. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from that. So he gives us this confidence that even though life is difficult and even though mockery and sometimes feeling different or feeling distant is part of it, and it's always been part of it. Every messenger, every ummah, every community always had an element of being treated like outsiders. It's kind of a reality when it comes to this dunya, that on the day of judgment, we're going to feel inshallah, in Jannah very much at home. The next point that Allah Ta'ala mentions is that he's warning now the people who disbelieve. He's saying that this is a day that you cannot repel. You can't run away from it. It's not something that you can sneak by or like try to, you know, ignore. It's going to be something that's going to come in very, very, very heavy. It's going to be there for you. And then he says that to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that those who turn away from him should not cause him any stress or any sort of despair. That whenever good happens to us, that people are bound to associate it to themselves. But whenever negativity hits them, then they turn away ungrateful. So he's telling the Prophet ﷺ that you don't need to change people's nature as human beings. You just need to teach them and guide them. And then Allah Ta'ala reminds the Prophet ﷺ at the end that there was a point when you didn't know what you know now. The Quran is the light that guided you. And light functions as something that gives you the ability to see and the ability to function that darkness can't give you. Without light, things are, you're in danger. Without light, you're uncomfortable. Without light, you're scared. So the Quran gives us that level of comfort. The Quran gives us that level of, you know, the Quran gives us that comfort. It gives us that safety, and it gives us that confidence, if only we were to engage with it in the way that it is. The next surah is Surah Zukhruf. Surah Zukhruf also is Allah Ta'ala giving now a further deep dive into the nature of the Quran and the nature of divine revelation and how we should understand it and how we should interpret it. Allah Ta'ala also mentions some examples about some of the stories of resurrection, and also even mentions the story of Ibrahim to bring a powerful point home about dedicating oneself to Allah alone. And then he finishes the surah by mentioning some aspects of his mercy and then telling us the story of Musa and Fir'aun, some details from that story as well. Bismillah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Hameem. والكتاب المبين إنا جعلناه قرآنا عربيا لعلكم تعقلون وإنه في أم الكتاب لدينا لعلي حكيم أفنضرب عنكم الذكر صفحا أن كنتم قوما مسرفين وكم أرسلنا من نبي في الأولين وما يأتيهم من نبي إلا كانوا به يستهزئون فأهلكنا أشد منهم بطشا ومضى مثل الأولين ولئن سألتهم من خلق السماوات والأرض ليقولن خلقهن العزيز العليم الذي جعل لكم الأرض مهدا وجعل لكم فيها سبلا لعلكم تهتدون.
This first page, Allah Ta'ala describes the Quran as being a book that is both clear and clarifying and full of wisdom. What this means is that every single time a person endeavors to open the Quran, they're always going to find something beneficial. As long as they engage with it in earnest, with authenticity, you're always going to find something that benefits you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also then questions the logic of the people who rejected their prophets, but at the same time were able to acknowledge that there was a creator in the heavens and the earth. This points us to a really serious reality that belief demands that action is associated with it. There's a very famous qawl, the statement that's attributed to Ali radiallahu anhu, that says that he said that knowledge, it only stays when action is accompanied by it. That, you know, action comes and knocks at the door of knowledge. That if it doesn't open, then it leaves. So we have to see our belief as always being coupled with action. So we have to ask ourselves, you know, am I acting on everything that I know as a Muslim? Go ahead.
والذي نزل من السماء ماء بقدر فأنشرنا به بلدة ميتا كذلك تخرجون والذي خلق الأزواج كلها وجعل لكم من الفلك والأنعام ما تركبون لتستووا على ظهوره ثم تذكروا نعمة ربكم إذا استويتم عليه وتقولوا سبحان الذي سخر لنا هذا وما كنا له مقرنين وإنا إلى ربنا لمنقلبون وجعلوا له من عباده جزءا إن الإنسان لكفور مبين أم اتخذ مما يخلق بنات وأصفاكم بالبنين وإذا بشر أحدهم بما ضرب للرحمن مثلا ظل وجهه مسودا وهو كظيم ومن ينشأ في الحلية وهو في الخصام غير مبين وجعلوا الملائكة الذين هم عباد الرحمن إناثا أشهدوا خلقهم ستكتب شهادتهم ويسألون وقالوا لو شاء الرحمن ما عبدناهم ما لهم بذلك من علم إن هم إلا يخرصون أم آتيناهم كتابا من قبله فهم به مستمسكون بل قالوا إنا وجدنا آباءنا على أمة وإنا على آثارهم مهتدون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the example of resurrection, and he's trying to give us the reality that this is something that we see, you know, every single day, that Allah ta'ala brings things back to life after they've gone. And this is something that we have to remember, that it's not miraculous for Allah Ta'ala to do this even with us. He also mentions that he created these animals and they were meant for riding, and that there are people who, while they ride these animals, Allah Ta'ala reminds us that there are two kinds of people. The ones who recognize that this is a blessing from Allah, these very animals that they ride. And as a result of that, they even make dua and they praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the famous dua that we're all, you know, accustomed to, where we say, Subhanalladhi sakhara lana hadha wama kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina al-munqalibun. That dua comes from this passage. They recognize that even the day-to-day blessing of having transportation is something from their Lord. They never let a single moment go by that, you know, the bedroom they have, the bathroom they have, the kitchen they have, everything is from Allah Ta'ala. So they praise Allah Ta'ala, as opposed to those people who reject Allah. They use these resources without even recognizing Allah. And then Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions something very interesting at the end of this page, where he says that the human beings, we have this capacity to become so arrogant that we can even say things like, if Ar-Rahman had wanted me to, then I would have worshipped him, right? If he wanted me to, it was his choice. Like as if we're blaming Allah for why we're not acting a certain way. And this is a line of rhetoric that might have become more common these days, that as people challenge, you know, faith, even in a community or outside of a community, that if God really wanted me to believe, he would have made me believe. But this is antithetical to the entire existence of the test of this faith. That is not about God forcing you to believe or not forcing you. It's about you recognizing the opportunity and accepting it and going with it. Go ahead.
وكذلك ما أرسلنا من قبلك في قرية من نذير إلا قال مترفوها إنا وجدنا آباءنا على أمة وإنا على آثارهم مقتدون قال أولو جئتكم بأهدى مما وجدتم عليه آباءكم قالوا إنا بما أرسلتم به كافرون فانتقلوا قمنا منهم فانظر كيف كان عاقبة المكذبين وإذ قال إبراهيم لأبيه وقومه إنني براء مما تعبدون إلا الذي فطرني فإنه سيهدين وجعلها كلمة باقية في عقبه لعلهم يرجعون بل متعت هؤلاء وآباءهم حتى جاء جاءهم الحق ورسول مبين ولما جاءهم الحق قالوا هذا سحر وإنا به كافرون وقالوا لولا نزل هذا القرآن على رجل من القريتين عظيم أهم يقسمون رحمة ربك نحن قسمنا بينهم معيشتهم في الحياة الدنيا ورفعنا بعضهم فوق بعض درجات ليتخذ بعضهم بعضا سخريا ورحمة ربك خير مما يجمعون ولولا أن يكون الناس أمة واحدة لجعلنا لمن يكفر بالرحمن لبيوتهم سقفا من فضة ومعارج
In this page, Allah Ta'ala reminds us of the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam, when Ibrahim had to make the really difficult decision to go against his people, his community, including his father, and ultimately had to go against them because they were so embedded in following their way of life that they received from their forefathers that they were unwilling to even listen to the message of the Quran. They just weren't even willing to give it a shot. And finally, in this moment of difficulty, Ibrahim alayhi salam mentions this beautiful, you know, this beautiful idea that Allah Ta'ala is the one who guided me, and he will continue to guide me. That he is the one who originally gave me guidance, and he will continue to guide me. This level of devotion found within Ibrahim alayhi salam is admirable. And if we remember this point, it's sufficient for this page, which is, if we devote ourselves to Allah, he will never leave us lost. If you devote yourself to Allah, even if you're unsure what the details might be in that day or that situation, you devote yourself to pleasing Allah, he will never leave you disappointed. Then the page goes on to say the question of why the Quran was sent to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in particular. People questioned, why was it sent to him? Why not somebody else? And Allah Ta'ala answers beautifully. And he says, are you the ones who make these decisions? Are you the ones who distribute this mercy from your Lord, meaning the Quran? And Allah Ta'ala says that he apportioned everything as part of their life, their rizq and everything. And even in those situations, he's made some people above other people. So why choose the Prophet ﷺ to receive wahi? Why not somebody else? Why not more than one person? It's all up to Allah. And there's a certain element of faith that requires a person to be comfortable at times, obviously, with that answer alone. That this is just up to Allah. And you just have to go with that. There's no wisdoms necessarily. There's not, you just say, this is the way Allah Ta'ala wanted it.
وَلِبُيُوتِهِمْ أَبْوَابًا وَسُرًّا عَلَيْهَا يَتَّكِئُونَ وَزُخْرُفًا وَإِنْ كُلُّ ذَلِكَ لَمَّا مَتَاعُ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ وَمَنْ يَعْشُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الرَّحْمَنِ نُقَيِّضْ لَهُ شَيْطَانًا فَهُوَ لَهُ قَرِينٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ لَيَصُدُّونَهُمْ عَنِ السَّبِيلِ وَيَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ مُهْتَدُونَ حَتَّى إِذَا جَاءَنَا قَالَ يا ليت بيني وبينك بعد المشرقين فبئس القرين ولن ينفعكم اليوم إذ ظلمتم أنكم في العذاب مشتركون أفأنت تسمع الصم أو تهدي العمي ومن كان في ضلال مبين فإما نذهبن بك فإنا منهم منتقمون أو نرينك الذي وعدناهم فإنا عليهم مقتدرون فاستمسك بالذي أوحي إليك إنك على صراط مستقيم وإنه لذكر لك ولقومك وسوف تسألون واسأل من أرسلنا من قبلك من رسلنا أجعلنا من دون الرحمن آلهة يعبدون ولقد أرسلنا موسى بآياتنا إلى فرعون وملئه فقال إني رسول رب العالمين فلما جاءهم بآياتنا إذا هم منها يضحكون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he uses a very powerful phrase when he says that whoever turns away from remembering Ar-Rahman, the most merciful, and it's almost like even in this phrase, there's like a sheer astonishment that how could a person turn away from the one who's the most merciful? And this causes a person to realize that all of the punishment and all of the consequence that a person gets, it almost fits the crime because they're ignoring the one who created them and was so merciful to them. And Allah Ta'ala says that this person, their spiritual state is basically disintegrating. He also gives us a very interesting peek into what the job of the shayateen are. He says that the job of the shayateen are to avert us and distract us from, being people of guidance. They want to take us away from recognizing the guidance Allah Ta'ala has sent. At the same time, they want us to think that we're rightly guided. So Shaytan's goal is not just to remove us from that path, but it's to make us think that everything's okay, that we're fine. It's okay. You know, it's not a big deal. Like, I'll come back eventually, or it's not even that serious, right? There was a lot of people doing much worse things like that. Those kinds of mentalities, that's Shaitan's goal. And so until, he says, on the day of judgment, that person will just snap out of it. And they're going to have a conversation with their Shaitan. And they're going to say that you're the one that did this to me. And Shaitan's going to say that I didn't have anything to do with it. I just whispered and you listened. And they're going to regret every single moment that they were influenced.
وما نريهم من آية إلا هي أكبر من أختها وأخذناهم بالعذاب لعلهم يرجعون وقالوا يا أيها الساحر ادع لنا ربك بما عهد عندك إننا لمهتدون فلما كشفنا عنهم العذاب إذا هم ينكثون ونادى فرعون في قومه قال يا قوم أليس لي ملك مصر وهذه الأنهار تجري من تحتي أفلا تبصرون أم أنا خير من هذا الذي هو مهين ولا يكاد يبين فلولا ألقي عليه أسورة من ذهب أو جاء معه الملائكة مقترنين فاستخف قومه فأطاعوه إنهم كانوا قوما فاسقين فلما آسفونا انتقمنا منهم فأغرقناهم أجمعين فجعلناهم سلفا ومثلا للآخرين ولما ضرب ابن مريم مثلا إذا قومك منه يصدون وقالوا أآلهتنا خير أم هو ما ضربوه لك إلا جدلا ما ضربوه لك إلا جدلا بل هم قوم خصمون إن هو إلا عبد أنعمنا عليه وجعلناه مثلا لبني إسرائيل ولو نشاء لجعلنا منكم ملائكة في الأرض يخلفون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this page gives us the story of two separate situations. The first being Musa with Fir'aun, and the second being the way that people took Isa and made him into a deity, an object of worship. The first situation is very interesting because when you look at Musa, we all know the story, we've gone through it previous times in the Quran recitations, that he went and he met with Fir'aun, and there was a duel of magic, so to speak, in the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's interesting because when Fir'aun realized that he had lost, when he realized that this is not going to go his way, he called out to his people and he employed a very despicable strategy. He started to mock Musa alayhi salam and tried to use points that had literally nothing to do with the message or with his merit as a messenger. All he did was he said, first thing he said was, I'm the one in control. Don't you see that I'm the most powerful? Like, are you really going to believe this guy's message when I'm the one most powerful? So it's a Pharaonic trait. It's an evil trait for a person to cite their power as a reason for their truth. That Allah Ta'ala has given power to many, many people, and some of them were on the truth and some of them were not. So having strength is not a singular evidence for a person's truth. And then he mentions, he goes, am I better in status than him? Look at him and look at me. He's with Bani Israel, like the slave class, and look at me, right? I'm Fir'aun. I'm the leader of Egypt. And then he goes, wala yakadu yubayyin. He says that, and he can't even speak. He can hardly express himself. And this refers back to what? Rabbi ishrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani. That Musa alayhi salam had a speech impediment. And so even like the lowest of the low, subhanAllah, the lowest of the low is that he refers to what? He refers to an issue that Musa may have had with his speech. And this is just straight up bullying. Like Fir'aun was just a classic bully, right? And this is, subhanAllah, is teaching us that this stuff has existed from day one. So if you ever see these characteristics in yourself or in those people that you love around you, that they refer to power and status and things that Allah Ta'ala, he destined for people, whether it's an impediment of speech or any sort of created state or being, these are not things that we reference as a means of someone being on the truth or not. This is not okay. This is from the Pharaonic state. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions that people took Jesus as a god. But those people, unfortunately, he reveals to us, Allah Ta'ala tells us, that even those people who took Jesus as God, they really only wanted to dispute the message of Tawheed. Like, it wasn't even really a matter of conviction. They were just really against whatever the message was. And Allah Ta'ala says that he was only a servant that we favored, meaning he was just a messenger. He wasn't God, right? And he was an example for the children of Israel. And Allah Ta'ala mentions that if he really wanted to, he could have just created angels that would have worshipped him in replacement of all people, but he didn't.
وَإِنَّهُ لَعِلْمٌ لِلسَّاعَةِ فَلَا تَمْتَرُنَّ بِهَا وَاتَّبِعُونَ هَذَا صِرَاطٌ مُسْتَقِيمٌ وَلَا يَصُدَّنَّكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ إِنَّهُ لَكُمْ عَدُوٌ مُّبِينٌ وَلَمَّا جَاءَ عِيسَى بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ قَالَ قَدْ جِئْتُكُمْ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَلِأُبَيِّنَ لَكُمْ بَعْضَ الَّذِي تَخْتَلِفُونَ فِيهِ فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ هُوَ رَبِّي وَرَبُّكُمْ فاعبدوه هذا صراط مستقيم فاختلف الأحزاب من بينهم فويل للذين ظلموا من عذاب يوم أليم هل ينظرون إلا الساعة أن تأتيهم بغتة وهم لا يشعرون الأخلاء يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين يا عبادي لا خوف عليكم اليوم ولا أنتم تحزنون الذين آمنوا بآياتنا وكانوا مسلمين ادخلوا الجنة أنتم وأزواجكم تحبرون يطاف عليهم بصحاف من ذهب وأكواب وفيها ما تشتهيه الأنفس وتلذ الأعين وأنتم فيها خالدون وتلك تلك الجنة التي أورثتموها بما كنتم تعملون لكم فيها فاكهة كثيرة منها تأكلون.
Allah Ta'ala begins the page by reminding us not to let shaitan distract us because he is a clear enemy. And it's important to identify shaitan as an enemy because ultimately his goal is to take us down with him. And so reminding ourselves of this fact, even though as simple as it sounds, is very important. Allah Ta'ala also mentions in a powerful ayah that on the Day of Judgment, there will be people who were very close friends in this life. But on that day, on the Day of Judgment, they are going to take each other as enemies, except for a certain category of people. So the default is that everybody, you have these close friends, these people that you were really close with in this life, and you thought that you'd be friends forever, but on the Day of Judgment, you're going to see each other as enemies. Why? Because of the conversations and the outings and the activities that you did, it took you away from Allah. So you mutually harmed each other, except for those إِلَى الْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah says, except for those people who are righteous, and they will be told by Allah that there's no reason for you guys to have fear today, or there's no reason for you guys to grieve, because you were the ones who submitted to us. You were the ones who tried. You were the ones who actually made an effort, right? So if you want to improve your friend circle, try to introduce some taqwa. You and your friends introduce something of taqwa in your friend circle so that on that day, it's not going to be a day where the friends that you had in this life are going to be enemies in the next life. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. And then Allah Ta'ala goes on to describe the Jannah that inshallah we will be able to have. And he gives something beautiful. He says, Bima kuntum ta'amalun. This is what you got because of what you used to do. The actions that you tried, that you worked hard for, here's your reward. And he describes such beautiful things, golden trays and cups, and whatever you see will bring you such happiness, and you're going to be there forever. There's no end date. There's no expiration date. And this is the life that we'll have. We ask Allah Ta'ala to grant us that, inshallah.
إن المجرمين في عذاب جهنم خالدون لا يفتر عنهم وهم فيه مبلسون وما ظلمناهم ولكن كانوا هم الظالمين ونادوا يا مالك ليقضي علينا ربك قال إنكم ماكثون لقد جئناكم بالحق ولكن أكثركم للحق كارهون أم أبرموا أمرا فإنا مبرمون أم يحسبون أنا لا نسمع سرهم ونجواهم بلى ورسلنا لديهم يكتبون قل إن كان للرحمن ولد فأنا أول العابدين سبحان رب السماوات والأرض رب العرش عما يصفون فذرهم يخوضوا ويلعبوا حتى يلاقوا يومهم الذي يوعدون وهو الذي في السماء وفي الأرض إله وهو الحكيم العليم وتبارك الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض وما بينهما وعنده علم الساعة وإليه ترجعون ولا يملك الذين يدعون من دونه الشفاعة إلا من شهد بالحق وهم يعلمون ولئن سألتهم من خلقهم ليقولن الله فأنى يؤفكون وقيله يا رب إن هؤلاء قوم لا يؤمنون فاصفح عنهم وقل سلام فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ.
Very powerful ending to the surah. Allah Ta'ala begins with a description that is so painful to read about the people of the hellfire, that they will be people that their punishment will never be lightened. It's only going to get worse and worse and worse. And this is something of the hellfire that's very unique and it's very scary. Like when you're going through something in life that's difficult, your hope is that it's going to get better, that it's going to get easier and lighter. But for the people of Jahannam, their punishment will never get lighter. It only gets worse. The lightest that they will experience it will be the moment that just passed. And then it gets worse and worse. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from that. They will be in a constant state of discomfort. There will never be any relief, even so much so that it's described that their relief of drinks will also be scalding hot. So their relief, quote unquote, will also be very painful. They'll be in so much pain that they're going to call out to the angels to just end them, just end our existence. Like we don't even want to exist anymore. And the angels will be told, you have the truth. The angels will tell them, they'll be told, you had the truth, but for some reason you just refused to accept. Like you had all the same resources that the people of Jannah, that you just refused to accept it. Allah Ta'ala then says to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that if you guys had a unique truth that was actually true, then the messenger of Allah would have been the first one to follow it, right? He is bound to the truth because he is a messenger of Allah. Meaning if you look at what he's doing, if he's not doing what you think is the truth, then you have to measure it up against him because the Prophet is following the truth. There's a lot of different, you know, competing understandings and ideals that we have in this world today. Always use the Prophet as a transparency. Always put the Prophet's example over whatever it is that you're reading or learning or thinking about to make sure that you're not going off track. And the last thing is that Allah Ta'ala, he gives the Prophet some consolation. The Prophet is in a lot of pain. And you can even hear it in the ayat when he says, you know, the Prophet, he's crying out to Allah and he's saying to them, oh my Lord, these people, right? They don't believe, right? هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمٌ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. They just don't believe. Like, I don't know what it is about them. And subhanAllah, Allah Ta'ala says, bear with them and respond with peace because they're going to know eventually. This is how Allah Ta'ala consoles his messenger who's in such pain because people are rejecting his message and he knows what waits for them on the other side. And he doesn't want to see anyone go in that punishment. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. The next surah is Surah Dukhan, and inshallah we'll start with it immediately. It is a chapter that deals with a moment of reckoning for humanity. Whether that moment is in the future, already happened, there's a little bit of a discussion among scholars. But either way, it's meant to waken up and rattle the hearts out of their delusion and their slumber in order to turn back to Allah Ta'ala before it's too late. Bismillah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. حاميم والكتاب المبين إنا أنزلناه في ليلة مباركة إنا كنا منذرين فيها يفرق كل أمر حكيم أمرا من عندنا إنا كنا مرسلين رحمة من ربك إنه هو السميع العليم رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما إن كنتم موقنين لا إله إلا هو يحيي ويميت ربكم ورب آبائكم الأولين بل هم في شك يلعبون فارتقب يوم تأتي السماء بدخان مبين يغشى الناس هذا عذاب أليم ربنا اكشف عنا العذاب إنا مؤمنون أنى لهم الذكرى وقد جاءهم رسول مبين. ثم تولوا عنه وقالوا معلم مجنون إنا كاشف العذاب قليلا إنكم عائدون يوم نبطش البطشة الكبرى إنا منتقمون ولقد فتنا قبلهم قوم فرعون وجاءهم رسول كريم أن أدوا إلي عباد الله إني لكم رسول أمين.
The first lesson from this page, Allah Ta'ala mentions us that the Qur'an was sent down on a blessed night. Elsewhere in the Qur'an, we know that it's sent down in a blessed place, in Mecca, to a blessed person, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Everything about the Qur'an is blessed. And so it begs the question, if we know the value of it, if we know that it's so blessed, why don't we use it as a resource more? And that's one of the points that is brought up in some of the tafsir on this ayah, is that this is a further solidification that this blessed treasure that we have should be accessed more and more. May Allah Ta'ala grant us that. There's another point that Allah Ta'ala makes here where he says that there's a relationship between being in doubt and having a purpose of life that is just to seek amusement in this life. Searching for purpose in life is something that everybody's going to go through, but a person has to be able to control their desires in order to find that purpose. If they live a life of unfettered desires and they're telling themselves, you know what, I want to find out why I'm here and what my purpose is, and then in reality, those desires are going to take over and increase that person in doubt. Doubts cannot be solved by anything that doesn't have sincerity. And to be living a life of amusement is not sincere. Lastly, Allah Ta'ala gives us a scenario of reckoning in which the surah is named after, when the smoke appears over a city and the people there realize that this is a real moment of divine reckoning. And it's not just something that's happening that's normal. And they call out to Allah and they say, oh Allah, please remove this from us. We'll believe now. Like they basically, at that point, they're woken up. But what could be the case of a person who believes only when the proof is there, right? Belief requires that proof not be present. Belief requires faith. And so once the prophecy is brought to them, they believe, but they should have believed before that. And they rejected the clear prophet that was sent to them. And Allah Ta'ala, he mentions Fir'aun. He says, look at him. He's a clear example of somebody who got a prophet and rejected, and he only tried to come back when the life, when his life's end was right before his eyes. So we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us guidance before our day of reckoning comes.
وَأَلَّا تَعْلُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ إِنِّي آتِيكُمْ بِسُلْطَانٍ مُّبِينٍ وَإِنِّي عُذْتُ بِرَبِّي وَرَبِّكُمْ أَن تَرْجُمُونَ وَإِن لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا لِي فَاعْتَزِلُونَ فَدَعَا رَبَّهُ أَنَّ هَؤُلَاءِ قَوْمٌ مُجْرِمُونَ فَأَسْرِ بِعِبَادِي لَيْلًا إِنَّكُمْ مُتَّبَعُونَ وَاتْرُكِ الْبَحْرَ رَهْوًا إِنَّهُمْ جُنْدٌ مغرقون كم تركوا من جنات وعيون وزروع ومقام كريم ونعمة كانوا فيها فاكهين كذلك وأورثناها قوما آخرين فما بكت عليهم السماء والأرض وما كانوا منظرين ولقد نجينا بني إسرائيل من العذاب المهين من فرعون إنه كان عاليا من المسرفين ولقد اخترناهم على علم على العالمين وآتيناهم من الآيات ما فيه بلاء مبين إن هؤلاء ليقولون إن هي إلا موتتنا الأولى وما نحن بمنشرين فأتوا بآبائنا إن كنتم صادقين أهم خير أم قوم تبع والذين من قبلهم أهلكناهم إنهم كانوا مجرمين وما خلقنا السماوات والأرض وما بينهما لاعبين ما خلقناهما إلا بالحق ولكن أكثرهم لا يعلمون.
Allah mentions very humbly about the tyrants. He mentions something so humbling about them when he says that their world will come crashing down when death comes to meet them. And he asks us a question. He says, imagine how many gardens and springs and residences and luxuries and all these things that they imagine, they'll all be empty. The day after they die, who's going to be using their car? Who's going to be living in their mansion? Who's going to be eating from their fridge? There's all going to be this stuff there, even a few moments after they pass away, but they won't have access to it. It'll all be for naught. And on top of that, it'll all be transferred to somebody else. And on top of that, Allah Ta'ala says very powerfully, the skies didn't cry for them, like the heavens didn't shed tears, and the earth just kept moving, and everyone has to keep going on. This is the ultimate reality, subhanAllah, when Allah tells us about, you know, this belief that power and status and wealth, it will make us eternal. Nothing is eternal. When a person with all that power and all that status and all that wealth, when they pass away, the only thing that matters is the deeds that they did, are the deeds that they did. Everything else that they've accumulated in their life has no value unless it was for Allah. If it was for Allah, then it'll go with them. But if it was for themselves, then it'll stay exactly where it was. And someone's going to buy it, and someone's going to use it, and someone's going to sell it, and there we go. And the earth keeps moving. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from that. Allah Ta'ala also responds to the questions of the Quraysh, demanding the resurrection of their forefathers as a proof of God's existence. And instead of acquiescing to their demands, because that's not how this works, Allah Ta'ala asks them a very interesting question. He says, so do you think that you were ultimately created just to play with no purpose? Why don't you think a little bit more deeply about that, and maybe you might come to a realization. Bismillah.
إن يوم الفصل ميقاتهم أجمعين يوم لا يغني مولا عن مولا شيئا ولا هم ينصرون إلا من رحم الله إنه هو العزيز الرحيم إن شجرة الزقوم طعام الأثيم كالمهل يغلي في البطون كغلي الحميم خذوه فاعتلوه إلى سواء الجحيم ثم صبوا فوق رأسه من عذاب الحميم ذق إنك أنت العزيز الكريم إن هذا ما كنتم به تمترون إن المتقين في مقام أمين في جنات وعيون يلبسون من سندس وإستبرق متقابلين كذلك وزوجناهم بحور عين يدعون فيها بكل فاكهة آمنين لا يذوقون فيها الموت إلا الموتة الأولى ووقاهم عذاب الجحيم فضلاً من ربك ذلك هو الفوز العظيم فإنما يسرناه بلسانك لعلهم يتذكرون فارتقب إنهم مرتقبون.
Allah Ta'ala finishes the surah with a very powerful description of the people of hellfire. And it's meant to be a wake-up call for everybody, honestly, when he describes that they will have to eat from this this tree that has, you know, very painful fruit to be eaten with. And they're going to be drinking, you know, molten metal and hot water. And they'll be dragged into the depths of the hellfire. And nothing, they won't be able to shower except for more boiling water over their heads. And they'll be told that this is what you earned and this is what you got for your doubt and your constant rejection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah ta'ala protect us from that. And then Allah ta'ala switches and tells us about the people who had taqwa and how he's going to put them in a very safe, secure place with gardens and springs. They're going to be wearing beautiful clothing and they're going to be facing one another. You know, one of the punishments of people in Jahannam is that they're going to be being punished and they're going to feel isolated. But Allah ta'ala always talks about those people in Jannah, like enjoying each other's company. And they're going to be seeing each other and they're going to be having, you know, spouses with them. And they'll be able to eat whatever fruits they like. And they're never, the only inconvenience Allah mentions, the only inconvenience, quote unquote, is that they're going to have to die from this life to the next life to get there. And Allah Ta'ala beautifully says, don't worry, that's the only death. You know, like as if like, that's the only thing you have to go through to get here is death. But subhanAllah, when you look at the reward, you know, going through one's life and the ending of one's life, it's not seen as an inconvenience. When a person reaches the end stages of their life and they hope for the best from Allah, then Allah Ta'ala and the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and many people, many scholars, they describe that moment as a moment of reuniting, that the soul will reunite where it belongs, will go back home. So we ask Allah Ta'ala, whenever it is our time to go, we ask Allah Ta'ala to make it a time that is not inconvenient, but a time of reuniting with Allah. The next surah, Surah Jathia, it's a surah that focuses, it's a short surah, 3 pages, we're almost done, but it focuses primarily on, again, reaffirming belief in Allah Ta'ala. It addresses some of the rejectors and it talks a little bit about the Day of Judgment. Bismillah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Hamim. Tanzilul Kitabi min Allahil Azizil Hakim. Inna fis samawati wal ardi laayatin lil mu'minin wa fi khalqikum wa ma yabuththu min dabbatin ayatun liqaumin yuqinun. Wa ikhtilafil layli wan nahari wa ma anzalallahu minas samaa'i mir rizqin fa ahya bihil وبعد موتها وتصريف الرياح آيات لقوم يعقلون تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق فبأي حديث بعد الله وآياته يؤمنون ويل لكل أفاك أثيم يسمع آيات الله تتلى عليه ثم يصر مستكبرا ثم يصر مستكبرا كأن لم يسمعها فبشره بعذاب أليم وإذا علم من آياتنا شيئا اتخذها هزوا أولئك لهم عذاب مهين من ورائهم جهنم ولا يغني عنهم ما كسبوا شيئا ولا ما اتخذوا من دون الله أولياء ولهم عذاب عظيم هذا هدى والذين كفروا بآيات ربهم لهم عذاب من رجز أليم الله الذي سخر لكم البحر لتجري الفلك بأمره ولتبتغوا من فضله ولعلكم تشكرون وسخر لكم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض جميعا منه إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون.
Allah Ta'ala gives two characteristics of the people of Jahannam, and then he gives us two characteristics of the people of Jannah. And those characteristics of Jahannam, the people of Jahannam, are that whenever they heard about the revelation or whenever they witnessed any of the signs of Allah, which include diversity in people, alternation of the night and day, Allah Ta'ala sending down rain and different provision for us, that they rejected it, number one, with arrogance, and they ignored it. They ignored it. So it's one thing to engage with it. Maybe that might open a door, but they ignored it completely. And they didn't want to even engage with it whatsoever. And so as a result of that, they didn't learn anything. And they didn't change anything. And in fact, they even made a mockery of it. And Allah Ta'ala said that because of that, they're going to be getting a great punishment. And nothing that they experience here in this life will ever help them in that way. And then Allah Ta'ala mentions those people that have recognized his signs. They had a couple different characteristics that will allow them to enter into paradise. The first is that they were grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second is that they would be people who reflect. There are people who are thinking and reflecting about Allah ta'ala's signs and his mercy, and that causes them to increase in their belief. Go ahead.
قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَغْفِرُوا لِلَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ أَيَّامَ اللَّهِ لِيَجْزِيَ قَوْمًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ أَسَاءَ فَعَلَيْهَا ثُمَّ إِلَى رَبِّكُمْ تُرْجَعُونَ وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحُكْمَ وَالنُّبُوَّةَ وَرَزَقْنَاهُمْ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُمْ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ وَآتَيْنَاهُمْ بَيِّنَاتٍ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ فَمَا اخْتَلَفُوا إِلَّا مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَهُمُ الْعِلْمُ بَغْيًا بَيْنَهُمْ إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَقْضِي بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِيمَا كَانُوا فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاكَ عَلَى شريعة من الأمن فاتبعها ولا تتبع أهواء الذين لا يعلمون إنهم لن يغنوا عنك من الله شيئا وإن الظالمين بعضهم أولياء بعض والله ولي المتقين هذا بصائر للناس وهدى ورحمة لقوم يوقنون أم حسب الذين اجترحوا السيئات أن نجعلهم كالذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات سواء محياهم ومماتهم ساء ما يحكمون وخلق الله السماوات والأرض بالحق ولتجزى كل نفس بما كسبت وهم لا يظلمون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned something very interesting about Bani Israel when he says that they were satisfied with the identity and the title of being the chosen people. That when they received this idea, this scripture, this prophethood, that Allah Ta'ala favored them above people and gave them provision, they were happy with that. But when it was given to them that they had to follow certain commandments and when they had to follow a clear path, a pathway, they didn't like it. And that's what caused them to have this mutual envy with people of faith. And so the lesson here is that it's one thing to identify as a believer, and it's one thing to try to follow that straight path of belief. It's easy to identify and call yourself something, but to walk the walk is very challenging. But that's where all the reward is, and that's where pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us at the end that if we honestly think about it, those people who commit wrongful deeds and those people who try their best and repent and turn back to Allah, there's no way anyone with sense could ever consider them equal. So it is important for us to realize that Allah ta'ala doesn't see us as equal when we do things that are right and wrong. He doesn't see us as equal when we do things that are right and other people do things that are wrong. We don't ever have to get concerned that those people or we are the same people if, depending on our quality, changes. Allah Ta'ala, He appreciates the goodness in people and He recognizes and holds to account the evil within people. And Hafizab, you can go ahead and finish the surah, inshallah.
أفرأيت من اتخذ إلهه هواه وأضله الله على علم وختم على سمعه وقلبه وجعل على بصره غشاوة فمن يهديه من بعد الله أفلا تذكرون وقالوا ما هي إلا حياتنا الدنيا نموت ونحيا وما يهلكنا إلا الدهر وما لهم بذلك من علم إن هم إلا يظنون وإذا تتلى عليهم آياتنا بينات ما كان حجتهم إلا أن قالوا ائتوا بآبائنا إن كنتم صادقين قل الله يحييكم ثم يميتكم ثم يجمعكم إلى يوم القيامة لا ريب فيه ولكن أكثر الناس لا يعلمون ولله ملك السماوات والأرض ويوم تقوم الساعة يومئذ يخسر المبطلون وترى كل أمة جاثية كل أمة تدعى إلى كتابها اليوم تجزون ما كنتم تعملون هذا كتابنا ينطق عليكم بالحق إنا كنا نستنسخ ما كنتم تعملون فأما الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات فيدخلهم ربهم في رحمته ذلك هو الفوز المبين وأما الذين كفروا أفلم تكن آياتي تتلى عليكم فاستكبرتم وكنتم قوما مجرمين وإذا قيل إن وعد الله حق والساعة لا ريب فيها قلتم ما ندري ما الساعة إن ظن إلا ظنا وما نحن بمستيقنين وبدى لهم سيئات ما عملوا وحاق بهم ما كانوا به يستهزئون وقيل اليوم ننساكم كما نسيتم لقاء يومكم هذا ومأواكم النار وما لكم من ناصرين ذلكم بأنكم اتخذتم آيات الله هزوا وغرتكم الحياة الدنيا فاليوم لا يخرجون منها ولا هم يستعتبون فلله الحمد رب السماوات ورب الأرض رب العالمين وله الكبرياء في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this final page and a half, really, of the end of the surah and the end of this juz by asking a beautiful question that's actually very powerful about those people who have taken their desires as their God. And this is something that, again, other passages have brought up, but it's important to remind ourselves that, you know, having something else that we devote ourselves to is not only a tangible idol that represents a God, but it could be a desire that we have within ourselves that we devote ourselves to more than we devote ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah ta'ala says that that thing can become so great that it can completely misguide us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it could be a desire for anything. But again, if it distracts us from Allah, then it's inevitably not good for us. Allah ta'ala then walks us through and he says that there are people who make this claim that say that this is nothing, there's nothing after this life, that once you're done, you're done. We die and others are born and that's it. And Allah Ta'ala says it's so interesting how confident they are because all they're doing is speculating. Have they died? Do they know? No, but they're speaking so confidently about the afterlife and they have no experience with it. So Allah Ta'ala then says that there is a time or there will come a day. And it's ayah number 28. And this is where the name of the surah comes from. That وَتَرَى كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ جَاثِيَةً, that you're going to see every ummah, every community on its knees, and they will be summoned, right? Because on that day, the day of judgment, they're all going to be in a position of begging Allah and waiting for their accounting, their reckoning. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call upon every one of them and will ask them based on the summary of their deeds. And Allah ta'ala says on that day, Allah ta'ala says that they will be rewarded for what they used to do. And the record will speak for itself. So for those people who tried, Allah ta'ala says, and they did good, then they will be entered by Allah ta'ala's mercy, and that will be a successful day for them. But for those people who disbelieved, they're going to be asked these questions. Did I not send you a revelation? Did I not send you a prophet? Did I not send you? Then why did you act this way? And then whenever these people are told that this is actually going to happen, they mock it. And they say, you know what? We don't really know what you guys are saying. Is this true or not? And Allah Ta'ala says, just wait. The evil consequences, the punishment that you're going to face are going to be there because of the exact same thing that you refuse to take seriously. You keep mocking this faith and this religion, and it's really just because you want to act your own way. And on the day of judgment, you're going to have to respond to that because of the evil that you used to do. And Allah Ta'ala says some very powerful, verse number 34, on this day, you're going to be forgotten, just like you forgot about the signs that we sent to you, just like the day that you forgot. And this is going to be your home, the home of fire, Jahannam, and no one's going to be here to help you. And Allah Ta'ala says, this is because you made a mockery of the revelations and you thought that the worldly life was it. You thought that that was it. You didn't plan accordingly. You didn't think ahead. So from this day on, you're going to be in the fire and no one will be allowed to save you and you'll never be taken out. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes the surah and the juz by reaffirming praise of himself and saying, all praises for Allah, the Lord of the heavens, the Lord of the earth, and he is the one that belongs, all majesty belongs to him. He's the almighty, the all-wise. So we ask Allah ta'ala to accept this juz from us tonight. Again, a lot of reminders, a lot of focus on reaffirming Allah Ta'ala's place in our life, reaffirming Allah Ta'ala's place in our life, that we want to devote ourselves to him. And if Ramadan teaches us anything, it's about reconfirming that devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We give up food, we give up drink, we give up sleep for who? For Allah. No one else. No one else gets this from us. We never give up food or drink or sleep for anyone else, only for Allah. So this is another example this juz gives us of the consequences and the rewards for a person who successfully does that. We ask Allah Ta'ala to accept. Hafiz Bilal, Jazakumullah Khairan. As always, such a pleasure. Beautiful, inshallah. I'll see you in class on Tuesday, inshallah. And I want to finish by asking everybody, inshallah, we have our launch good goal. We have a few days left in Ramadan. We're almost there. You know, we've been hitting the milestones really well. The community's been great. We love the fact that we're able to give, free content to the community so that everyone can just get on their phone, get on their computer, get on their TV even, and learn about the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, come closer to the book of Allah and the son of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But we need your help. So if you can help us get there, head to supportqalam.com, send that link to your friends. I am officially giving a fatwa today, right now, that spamming everyone on WhatsApp with supportqalam.com is mustahab, inshallah. It's beloved. It's a good deed, inshallah, to get people to donate, inshallah. No, I'm just joking. But inshallah, you know what I mean. Use your network and use your platform to get people to contribute, and Allah Ta'ala will reward you and them. And they're going to see immense reward. You're going to see immense reward for whatever donations you make. May Allah Ta'ala bless everybody. Barakallahu feekum. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.